So today we are with Mark Curfee and Marius Gregorio from Information Security Tools. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing fine.
Enjoying the sunny Seattle weather, Josie.
Okay, I don't see a sun behind you,
no. Nice and grey.
My sarcastic British humour, sorry.
Okay. So before we actually start talking about CSF, why don't you, Marius, tell us how long you've been in Microsoft, and then I'll follow up with Mark.
Sure. So I've been at Microsoft for almost 3 years. In fact, minus a couple of weeks now.
Oh, great. What's your background? Have you always been working on tools team security?
Yeah. Ever since I've been with Microsoft, I've been on an IT development team. And the first project I was given is related to security. And ever since then, it's always been security.
College you and you're never going to escape.
So love at first sight. I'm kidding. So Mark, what about you?
So Mark Curfee, I've been here for 2 years. And I'm what's called the PUM, the Product Unit Manager, which is a glorified name for owning PM Dev and Test, of the Information Security Tools team. And tools team is responsible for building the security tools that power the corporate information security program. So,
I know that you have an interesting story about, you know, what brought you to Microsoft and actually leading this team. Do you want to start with that and then blending into CSF?
I have an interesting background, but that's probably not appropriate for the video.
So anything appropriate.
So I've spent most of my, I guess, working life in corporate information security teams and consulting businesses. So sort of flipping between the two, mainly between banking and running consulting teams and then a bunch of technology startups. And was working for a company called Foundstone. We sold the company to McAfee, the big antivirus vendor. After a couple of years, I guess kind of cashed out my shares and we moved back to Europe. And I was looking for the next thing to do. Had visions of kind of building another interesting startup. And I'd spent some time looking around, trying to figure out what I thought the next big security problems were. And spent a lot of time talking to a lot of CISOs that I just known and trying to understand what their problems were. And the crux of it was that they all had loads and loads of disparate systems that had built and grown up over the time. None of them worked together, none of them talked together, just this kind of complete and utter mess. Mm-hmm. And they basically used to consistently describe themselves to me as they felt blindfolded. They didn't know what was going on in their business. They couldn't really understand what was happening. And there were a bunch of people that were trying to solve the problem, and they were really trying to solve the problem by trying to build essentially an information security team in a box, right? They were trying to replicate what they thought the ideal security team should be, and then they were trying to codify it and build a tool for it. And the consistent feedback that I kept getting back, particularly from large companies, was that we don't operate like a box, right? Whilst we're doing information security or risk management, essentially, it's the same thing, but we're not like Bank X or we're not like Bank Y. We do things differently. And what they needed was they needed a platform of someone who could essentially glue together the way they wanted to do things, allow them to build technology to support what they wanted to do, but without them having to change the way that they wanted to do it for their business. So I started exploring, trying to get this thing together as a startup, and had a bunch of people who were interested. But for various reasons, it wasn't going to work out as a startup. And having some talks one day with one of the advisors that was helping me, he said, you know what, probably the best thing for you to do is to go figure out someone who actually wants to build this themselves, for themselves, and that would be interested in exploring that, and go build it there. And so I kind of made my list. IBM, Microsoft, a couple of other big vendors. I knew a lot of people at Microsoft. We'd done a lot of work with them through Foundstone, and I was a Microsoft MVP. So I started making some calls and eventually got through to Todd, who's my boss now, and sort of we had a chat and said, look, you know, here's kind of my view of the world, here's what I'm trying to do, here's the problem I'm trying to solve. And Todd immediately said, that's exactly the same problem we've got. I kind of laughed. I said, yeah, but it's the same problem everyone else has got as well. I already know that. And he said, well, you know, come here and build it here and solve that problem for us. So that's kind of where I came on board. About 2 years ago, it's taken a little while to kind of get things lined up and get going, and I guess we've been working on this now for, 6 months or so?
Yeah.
So we've been kind of actively working on it for 6 months, but kind of planning the stuff behind the scenes for a bit longer. So.
I see. So what's that solution called?
So the solution is called the Connected Information Security Framework. When I was doing it as a startup, we kind of had this Oxygen security platform that come to Microsoft, you go through all the legal naming conventions and everything. So Connected Information Security Framework, the notion being it's to pull together all the disparate parts of information security. And yeah, that's what we've got. So there's kind of two ways you can think about it. The Connected Information Security Framework is really a set of components or libraries to allow you to build information security applications faster, cheaper, and better. And then there'll be a set of applications on top. So developers care about the framework. The business users, the end users, care about the applications that sit on top. So that's the way to look at it. And then I guess you can kind of slice and dice the framework into security business services, risk engine, BI, things like that. And then underneath that, there's a set of technical services, which are just things that every application gets to use, notifications, things, etc. And I think you've got Vineet, who's one of our developer architects, who's going to talk to you about some of the technical stuff in another video.
Perfect.
He's actually lurking over there in the corner.
you can't wave.
We can't bring him in now.
Hi, Mom.
I couldn't keep a straight face, so I had to, you know.
That's good. We'll know him probably next week, right?
Yeah.
So then Connected Information Security Framework. And tell us about, you know, what does it entail right now? You guys released it to the public. And like you said, the beauty of it is the fact that anybody can build their own security applications on top of it.
Yep. So we've got a few core, I guess what I would call design principles, and kind of principles, philosophies, I guess, behind it, is that fundamentally we believe that there are authoritative sources of data or authoritative systems in any business.
Yep.
So, for example, we have an HR system here at Microsoft. We have an incident response system which manages IT incidents and queues. We have a system which provides, you know, document management system, SharePoint, right? So,
yep.
So things. So fundamentally, we don't want to replicate any of those things, but we want to glue those things together. So that's a key kind of message and a key differentiator from the way some of the other people approach that. We want those authoritative systems to remain authoritative, but we want to be able to pull those and glue those things together. The second thing is, it's kind of a loosely coupled system, right? Which is a geeky technology term, but it basically means is that we don't want to tightly couple any of these things together because we know that our business changes.
Yeah.
So as an example, we may have a particular system that does one thing right now, and we're actually looking at replacing the application portfolio management system to the Microsoft Technology Project Portfolio Server. We've got a custom one now that's been grown up over the years. When we do that, we want to be able to plug those pieces out without affecting all the other things that are in the ecosystem. So it's this principle of this thing being loosely coupled.
Yeah.
And that's just being pragmatic about how businesses work. If you have these things tightly coupled, one piece breaks and the whole system breaks.
Yeah.
It should be that that one piece breaks and that only that one piece breaks and the rest of it continues to work. So that's that. The kind of third principle, I guess, is that we believe that the information security is a relatively immature process as a whole, and that most security people are still figuring out what the requirements are. So as a result, it's the ability for custom applications to do exactly what the people want at the time is key. And it's true that you can pull some things out of a box and they'll give you 80% of what you need, but the 20% you don't have causes you 80% of the pain. Right? So it's this it's this thing. And that's definitely what we hear about from some other people. It's kind of, you'll get going faster, you'll get your 80% initially, but eventually you get to the point where closing that 20% gap down costs you far more than if you had done that stuff in the beginning. And then fundamentally we believe that technology should support the business and that the business shouldn't have to change to support the technology. So as a result, we're kind of basically building a flexible system. We've had this notion of kind of like Lego blocks, right? Kids' blocks.
Yeah.
You should be able to pull the blocks down, change them, sack it back up again exactly the way the business works with minimal effort, rather than this kind of square box that you have to do and, you know, you've got to drill a hole in the side or do whatever. It's a fundamental principle that what we want to build is the ability to change the applications as the business wants us to change them and support the business process rather than the business have to change to support the application.
That's
fair. Anything else you want to add?
You know, when you compare what we're trying to do and these principles to some out-of-box solution, you know, you find out that with an out-of-box product, you know, just related to what we've just been talking about now, process, you know, you have businesses that need to then adapt to some product when you find out that you're running into these limitations that are expensive to fix. And when it comes to disconnected products that that are tightly coupled, then you start having problems with this authoritative source. So when you have a product that's supposed to have all sorts of data self-contained and you can't communicate with other systems out there, now you start finding out that you're either not realizing the full potential of what you've purchased, or you're going to have to do something where you're competing, you've got competing data sources for the same thing, and now you're split up into silos and your reporting suffers as a result. Right. Each team will only be able to see what they have, but to do something that's reporting cross teams, it just won't be possible.
I see. So that means that you guys had to have like a strong relationship with actually the different entities and different business owners to like interpret, okay, so what is it that you need? How do you guys come up with these requirements?
So the requirements for the framework are pretty much driven within the team, in the sense of what we are doing is figuring out what are the pieces that we need to build to satisfy the requirements that are coming forward. But the solutions built on top of it are driven purely by the customers. So as an example, Marius right now is working on a lot of the BI stuff, right? So business intelligence stuff, reporting for all those things. Within the engineering team, we know the business problem, that the end users don't want to have to come to engineering to write reports all the time. They want to be able to get the reports fast, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
How that happens and the technical requirements underneath, we then interpret those things and turn around and figure out, okay, we need to build X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of kind of actually what the reports look like and how the data wants to get viewed to the end customer, Marius works with the customers, figures out, okay, you know, do you want to see risks by geography? Do you want to see them by sorted by business unit, all that stuff? And that stuff filters back down into engineering requirements that, hey, we need to hook into this thing that figures out the official Microsoft geographies. I forget how many of them are there. It's like hundreds, right?
250
geographies or something. You know, how do business groups get sorted? And then we spend a lot of time figuring out things such as, what happens if someone moves geography? Like I've just moved from the UK to Redmond, right?
Yep.
So if I had a risk associated with me, does it follow me? How does that happen in the system? Because we don't want orphaned things, right? If I move from here in information security to entertainment and devices, go become, you know, corporate VP of Xbox division, or something crazy, right? You know, what happens with that? That risk was associated with information security. It shouldn't follow me with those things. So we then extrapolate those business requirements and make sure that we're addressing technical requirements.
It's basically two layers. Our business solution is custom tailored for the different business groups we're targeting, so Microsoft Information Security and the different risk management groups here that we've got. And then the layer beneath that, the framework, is what lets us build these solutions faster, better, and cheaper. And the requirements we get for that are based on some of the pain points and experiences that we experience as a development team building these solutions.
Yep.
So you guys building the framework and building, I know that you released it with Risk Tracker, you know, basically like the first application sitting on top of it. So you're saying that information security, that this team is already using this framework to track risk for the risk management team. So apparently it seems that, you know, there is a repository of new items and new applications that will be coming on top of it.
Yep.
What else do you see coming up for the framework?
Well, so, you know, I think it's fair to say what's being released now, you know, early September, is what I would call a CTP, right? Just, it's there for people to see that this is real and that get an idea of what we're doing. It's not something at this point that we would kind of advise people to build on, because it's not ready, right?
Exactly.
We're spending time refactoring stuff. The plan is to have a release every quarter, and I would say probably by the time the next release comes through, there will be stuff that we would think, yes, you could build on, particularly around the BI stuff, maybe around the risk tracker stuff. It's also, I think, fair to say, what we've initially got versus what we expect to have over the space of the next year, there's a fairly significant gap, because there's a fair amount of effort to be done. So, you know, right now we've been focusing on some immediate needs to solve the risk tracker problem. So the sort of features have been prioritized for that.
And much like any other engineering team, you know, we get to the end of the year and, you know, the pressure comes down. You need to complete this by the end of the year. So we've taken some shortcuts, right?
Yeah.
The whole point of the framework is that we build a component so other people don't need to take the shortcuts. So, you know, we're now going back and kind of saying, okay, so now there's this piece. We need to go back and retrofit that piece, retrofit this piece. So it'll start popping out and evolving. In terms of the applications right now, absolutely, we, you know, I mean, I control the budget for this tools team, and I know how much money we spend on fixing and maintaining a bunch of applications. It's a big portfolio of tools.
Yeah.
And for an example, I have 5 notifications engines in here that just do all the same thing, send out emails about this report's due, that report's due. I hate to think how many web UIs we have. I mean, I don't know. Every app's got one, probably 20, 25. Reporting, every app has its own individual reporting stuff. It has to get built and maintained. So, you know, we are starting to now look at that project of, okay, how do we take all of those apps that have already been built, backport them onto this framework so that we can essentially reduce the cost of engineering. So that's kind of one of the key drivers for us. So you think about it as cheaper, faster, better, right? The age-old analogy for engineering. You can't have all three at once. You can have any two at any one time. But
yeah,
the idea is so cheaper. So we can first of all reuse things that are already built. And then in terms of if we're building new stuff, don't have to build things. Faster, if you don't have to build something, you can just take it off the shelf and get there faster and deliver it. And then better, once all this stuff is working together on a common framework, we can do things such as, we can now answer the question, and I think this is true, but keep me whole. We can now answer the question, show me an application with a SQL injection vulnerability that sits on a host that's not patched in a data center that doesn't have a recovery plan.
Well,
that then becomes a really meaningful
yeah.
thing that's a higher risk thing than any of those individual things alone. And, you know, we can then do things such as we're looking now at pulling in Forefront Identity Manager, reporting information. We could then, for instance, say, show me my machine that doesn't have patches, and I could type in your alias, and I could tell whether you actually would have access to my machine through your permissioning.
Wow.
So we can start to do things like that now once you get all this on. So that's the kind of better part of it. But it's all really about just cheaper, faster, better, and helping security people make informed decisions.
And the framework actually lets us achieve all three, too.
Right. Yep.
Wow. So anything else so that the user can, you know, say, oh, I'm going to follow up this technology, this framework, anything that we need to know?
Well, so I think one of the cool things is that, you know, ultimately my boss and my boss's boss are keen that anything that we're doing, things that we're learning, gets shared with our Microsoft customers.
Yeah.
And, you know, fundamentally we believe that the Microsoft platform is great for building security technology on. And we're demonstrating that, right? We're eating our own dog food by doing exactly that. So as a result, this will be released open source with an MSPL license, which basically means you can go download the code on Codeplex, build applications, port applications on that. Hopefully people will start sharing applications. You'll be able to take out reference applications, Risk Tracker being the first of them, use those and extend them. And then if people, you know, much like us, have one of everything in their environment, which you do,
mm-hmm.
You can then, because it's open source, because we've architected the framework in a way, you can start integrating that stuff to make meaningful decisions. So as an example, if you've used cat.net, the code review tool, which is also in our team, you can call the services layer and drive through, you know, that stuff into a risk. So someone maybe runs that stuff, you know, gets attached to an application, dynamically changes the risk. If you have a host reviewing tool, maybe a patch management system, that stuff can start driving the risk stuff through the framework as well. So, you know, the idea is, if you're bought into the philosophy
yeah.
that, you know, you need a loosely coupled system to scale, is that, you know, you want to build technology that supports your process and not drives it. If you're bought into all of those things, then you take the framework and you can use it and deploy it in the way that will support the way that you want to do business.
Great. Maris?
You know, I don't have anything to add to that.
Yeah, you intimidated him. Awesome.
Not true.
So I see a lot of goodness coming up. So I appreciate the time, Marius, Mark. We definitely will be talking with Benit, which is sitting next to me.
He's keeping quiet today, but he's, you know.
Yes.
It's a rarity.
Yeah, there's a lot coming. There's, you know, more technical conversations. We'll talk about the architecture behind it, and especially, you know, we'll do screencasts so that people can actually understand everything that they heard. So
wonderful.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.